World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
I'm feeling a hurt this morning. Spencer, I'm sending you, they needed a code. I'm sending it to you, a Facebook code. You know, the older I get, the less I really care about what people think. I mean, I'm telling you, that's really, really the truth. And I was kind of thinking about something. Lord, just bless our time together here, Lord Jesus. Be glorified through all we say and do. In Jesus' name. I was sitting around, and I was just looking over my shoulder. I did that event with Hagman last night. I'm going to talk about that a little bit on the Hagman Report. And I was looking over my shoulder where I've been, what I've done in the last, God, like 24 years. That's hard to believe, isn't it? 24 years. Wow. Looking over my shoulder. And you know what? I haven't been wrong too many times. And if you could stack it up and the things that we've done, the places we've gone, the things that we've said, and we would go back and play the tape in reverse, you would find out that I wasn't wrong on about anything we were doing. That not one wrong. Way ahead of what was going on. Now, I don't say that to pat myself on the back and say, boy, what a great guy you are. And Coach, boy, you sure got to go. No, I ain't saying any of that stuff. I'm just telling you this. We were right. We were right about COVID. You know that, right? We were right about COVID. We were right about abortion. There's no right to be an abortion. We were right about all that stuff. And to think really how much, I'm not sucking my thumb. Don't take it wrong. How much this ministry has been rejected by the local church is staggering. It's absolutely staggering. And yesterday we had an opportunity. Doug Hagman called us, and he texted me yesterday right after the show was over. Said, "Hey, Coach Dave, can you come on tonight?" Doug Hagman has a huge audience. Can you come on tonight, Coach? America's coach and coaches up here, kind of what the email said. I said, yeah, sure. Because we taped it at 11 o'clock and it was like the show had just ended. It was like, I don't know, 8:15 maybe. Well, what the heck? What am I going to do? So I said, yeah, be glad to do it, Doug. And so I wanted to show to the world that we can win. We can win. And I said, man, they need to know what JR's doing. They need to know what Craig Mickle's doing. They need to know what Randy's doing. I had about 10 things. And so I called those guys or texted those guys, said, can you be on the Hagman tonight? And folks, we had the most unbelievable show last night on the Hagman Report. That we'll put it in the chat or put it wherever so that you can see it. But you ought to go and ask yourself this. Real quickly, I'm going to do this because I just feel the unction of the Lord. Randy, are you out there, Randy? Randy's always out there. Randy's been a little bit sick under the weather, but he was a trooper.
I'm here, Coach.
Hey, Randy, other than having your thumb up your hind end, what were you doing 5 years ago?
I don't know. I don't remember. Just,
Before you got actively involved, went to Hillary's and all that stuff, what were you doing with your faith, Randy?
Not very much.
Why?
I had, I don't know, I guess, Coach, probably I wasn't equipped. Probably didn't have, you know, that's why I joined with you, Coach. It was about 6 years now when I found you. I was where I was looking for many, many years, was bold people who were bold and activists. And I just didn't have it in me. But
you knew something was wrong. You didn't know what to do, right, Randy? Are you the only guy seeing this stuff? World screwed up? You're the only guy seeing it? Wasn't that kind of your feeling? Can't do anything about it, so we might just wait around for the rapture? Wasn't that pretty much the essence of your Christianity? Yep. Yeah. I'm not making fun of it, of Randy. That's the situation. Craig Mick, what were you? Are you? I assume Craig's out there. What were you doing, Craig? What were you doing 7, 8 years ago, sitting around with all these great ideas and this unction of the Lord inside of you and wanting to do something? And well, what were you doing, Craig?
I mean, I was growing. I was probably taking care of my own, but I didn't think I needed to take care of the others. I wasn't that Samaritan that felt like it was my job to go out and take care of it.
Hmm. And what changed? What flipped? Because you're a beast now. You're a beast.
Well, I'd say, you know, men like yourself, you know, Hackman, people kind of challenged me because I kind of looked at what they were doing. And I just felt like, gee, these guys are a lot bolder than I am. And I mean, maybe I don't agree with everything, but I'm like, these dudes defend Jesus, you know, straight up, man. I mean, it's like, if I was going to be in a bar fight about Jesus, I think I'd like, I want to be around these guys. So that just kind of felt, and it convicted me. And I said, you know, I need to step out of my comfort zone and, you know, use the gifts that God's given me. So.
Amen. Amen. JR, you out there, JR? I know what you were doing, man. I know what you were sitting there running in place, looking, doing shadow boxing, looking for somebody to box. And you got connected, and well, you were always working at. You there, JR? I don't know if you are. Doesn't matter if he is. Anyway, I'm gonna go through there this morning. But look, I got to do something here real quickly. Okay, now I'm gonna say this in a really nice way. I want everybody to understand this.
Good morning, Coach.
Just a second, JR. I'll come back to you. Listen, okay. Hang on. Listen, are you guys looking at me? I don't need your money. I don't need your money. My wife and I, we don't need your money. Okay. We don't need your money. But I'm going to tell you something. Some of you folks are about to go broke. And how are you going to go broke? Because the dollar is going to crash. It's going to crash. We already know that they're trying to come up with some form of... I saw today on the front page of the Columbus Dispatch, the state teachers' retirement system is broke. It's broke. Broken. Broke. Broke. No money, no money. And we've been trying to help you out there, all of you out there, to try to prepare yourself for something going on with the money, something going on. Now, at costmetals.com, it's not an advertisement. I'm trying to throw you a lifeline. Big move yesterday. I'm going to bring Jeff in here real quick. Jeff Nair's in here real quick. Big move yesterday at Cost Metals. Now, their store is open. You can go and click and buy. And I haven't been promoting it a whole lot because it was so clunky of how you ordered. And yeah, it was so clunky. But now if you go to at Cost Metals, you can literally, they have all the different things that you go down there and you select. I want 5 of these and 6 of these and 7 of these and boom, boom. And it's done. It's over. It's not as clunky as it used to be. Okay. Now, friends, if you don't want to secure your future, if you are hiding $20,000 in the bank, I got to tell you something. I don't know what to tell you, all right? So Jeff Nair, just real quickly, because I got to get this out of here. Folks, I don't need your money. I don't want your money. I want you to have your own money. So Jeff, they can now go to at Cost Metals and click, and they can go down. I don't know if we can pull it up here. If they, I have to give them my code and everything. See how easy it has now become. Are you out there, Jeff?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay, explain. Yep. So explain what, folks. Yes, before this, it was really, really clunky to order any metals. Yeah, had to go on one page and then write it down, go back in another page and add it in. And that's all. The store is now open where you can go, and there's a list of coins that you might want to buy, and you can order this and order this and order this, just like you would on any other website. Is that right, Jeff?
Yeah, the shopping cart is live now, and I'm told it's going to improve with time as well, but it's all on one page. So once you become a member, you can see it right on your dashboard, right on your back office there. They give you your own back office where you can order your own website and see if you have any referrals out there. They'll show you your commissions. It'll show all these things. But the shopping cart is now live. It's going to continue to improve, but they've also added a ton of new metals to be had there. And it's pretty amazing. I mean, the variety is huge.
Yep. So I look, folks, I'm trying to help you here. Okay. I'm trying to help you here. Get get some metal, get some. Do you guys watch the news? You're talking about digital currency and financial reset and blah, blah, blah. What do you think's going on? What do you think is going on? The paper isn't going to be any good. The state teachers' retirement fund is kaboom. See if you can Google that, Columbus Dispatch. Put that. Go to dispatch.com, dispatch.com. I should have brought it up. Dispatch.com and see if that isn't right near the top. Higher lawmaker, no, where did I saw it? Come on, keep going. Stop right there. That can't even be the right page. Anyway, trust me, okay? Trust me, the state teachers' retirement fund is going belly up. It's happening. And it'll be the first, it'll be others. So I'm going to shut up about that. At cost metals. You can order directly without the fee on top of it. By the way, go to the pawn shop and buy some if you want to. You don't have to do it at cost metals. Go get some silver. Go get some gold. Go get some that you can actually hold while you still can. Roger.
Dave, just the easiest way to get in, and I always jump in after you said this so people don't think you're just promoting stuff, is just get some junk silver.
Yeah, junk silver.
Just if gold overwhelms you, and I just start getting, it's called junk silver, constitutional silver, and 99% silver. Just get some junk silver. Start Amen. There.
Amen. Amen. Let's move on. Anyway, point is, at cost metals, if you're a member, it's like buying a membership at Sam's Club. You can now go and actually do some shopping. It's not as clunky as it once was. Okay.
Well, let's put your code in the chat, maybe, so people can see.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I put my code. It's Pass the Salt. Pass the Salt's my code.
Right.
So here's my code. If you want to go check it out, Pass the Salt. That's my code. Boom. You can check it out and everything you need to do. Okay, I want to move on here. What was I yelling about? I was yelling about the fact go to the Hagman Report. This blew me away. I think I didn't I put it in here? I'm telling you. There it is. Okay, so I was on with J.R. Harrison, Randy Lunsford, and Craig Mickle did fabulous last night on the Hagman Report. They represented very, very well. They were articulate. They made sense. And they did a great thing. But I want to show you something that absolutely blew me away. It's personal, okay? It's personal. If you would, Spencer, go ahead and open that up there a second.
Click on coming. That.
Okay, and Spencer, go to about the last 2 minutes. The last 2 minutes. Right about there. Just freeze it right about there, man. Doug Hagman's son-in-law, Eric, they call him Eric the Tech. It's Doug's son. He's my Jared. He's my he runs Doug's stuff. It's Doug's son-in-law. Folks, I want to talk to you about the idea. The Bible says one man plants, another man waters, and it's God that gives the increase. I want you to listen to about the last 2 minutes. Is that where we are? Of this show, and listen what Eric the Tech says. It blew me away. I want to encourage you, friends, plant. And water, plant and water. Go ahead and play this real quickly.
Rededicate my life, and now.
Sorry, right there. Go back a little bit. Go back a minute, 30 seconds, because this is Eric the Tech, and I don't know if you guys know the Hagman Report. Eric doesn't ever hardly say anything at all. He just runs the board, and at the end of the show, he had to tell us something. Go ahead.
The buttons. If you see his workstation, it looks like something from Star Trek. I'm telling you, I'm not allowed to touch any buttons. He says, no, don't touch buttons.
I've never told this story on air.
Okay. Oh, no.
This is,
no,
when I was younger,
is Eric the Tech.
Okay.
I went to a basketball tournament called Word of Life, and that man, Coach Dave Doppelmeyer, led me to rededicate my life, and now I'm here.
Really?
Yep.
Wow, Eric. Man, huh? Another player in the game, baby.
Coach, I did not know that.
Amazing. Well, Eric, that blessed me.
The impact you have.
Huh? Golly, who knows? Thanks, Eric. That encourages me. You never know, right? We're seed planters and we water. That's all we do. One man plants, another man waters, and God gives the increase. So,
wow.
All glory to God.
Yeah, I was about 13 years old.
My goodness.
So wow. That's so good to know. And I think God has a plan for all of us. And there it is. There it is right there.
Wooster.
Okay, folks. You get this. Wow. 25 years ago, probably 25 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, a seed was planted in Doug Hagman's son-in-law. Now, think about this. This was before Doug Hagman's daughter married his son-in-law. Doug Hagman's daughter married a godly man because of seeds I planted, didn't even know I was planting them. And see, sometimes we don't allow or don't trust the Holy Spirit to do his work. That's why the scripture says one man plants, another man waters, but God gives the increase. And I had no idea that Doug Hagman's son-in-law, Eric the Tech, received the Lord from a presentation that I made. Is that unbelievable, friends? See, this is how the Lord works. And I would say this to all of you out there who are dealing with prodigals. Somebody planted into my life when I was a little kid. I walked forward in 1964 at a Billy Graham crusade in Columbus, Ohio, and received the Lord. And then I was drugged back up on the beach and allowed to rot. And then that thing was breath, life was breathed into that in 1988. How many? 24 years later, that spark was reignited, and here I am today. So some of us get it right away. Some of us it takes a while. But a seed planted in fertile territory will bear much fruit. And I say that to encourage those of you out there who are dealing with prodigals, as we all do in our lives. Keep watering, baby. Keep watering. Don't hammer them over the head. Don't flood them. Don't drop a bucket on their head. Keep praying. Keep watering. Keep sowing. Because you never know when that spark of life is going to hit that seed. And I just, I was so encouraged. Not because whatever. But just kind of thought, wow, Lord. I remember that night. And who would have ever thought that spark would be lit in that guy's life? Don't give up, folks. Kevin, come on in.
Well, you know, Coach, God's blessings multiply abundantly. And you stop and think about how many people have been blessed. People, you'll never know how many countless people have been blessed by the work that Eric the Tech does.
Unbelievable.
It's amazing. It's amazing to think about. And it's humbling, too.
He's running. He is the guts of the Hagman Report. He's the guts of it. And you know what? I got some skin in that game. Isn't that something? I don't. You get what I'm saying, right? It's unbelievable. Jeff Klein.
Coach, you just said some people get it right away. Some don't. It takes a while. But for 20 years, Pastor Bill has always said this. We are all a work in progress.
We're all a work in progress, baby. And you don't know who and you don't know when. Keep planting those seeds, babe. Keep planting those seeds. Wow. So the Hagman Report should be posted. If it isn't posted already at Coach Dave Live, it soon will be. And the last hour was, as I said, Craig Mickle, Randy, and J.R. Harrison all talking about things that they are doing. And it encourages me beyond what I can even say to you. I couldn't, if we took testimony time and had you guys start to talk about how you have been emboldened in your faith, just by being part of this, it would be unbelievable to hear. Be unbelievable. And here's what you need to know. He who began a good work in you will complete it. You're just getting started. But friends, it's like plowing a field. It's like digging a row. It ain't easy, man. It ain't easy. And the Lord will do a lot of things to test you and see if you really want to plant that garden. Do you really want to plant it? Because then you're going to have to tend it. And one of the problems that I think that the Billy Graham movement gave us is what I call easy believism. Walk an aisle, say a prayer, no follow-up. You go home, you think you're saved, no church follow-up. And we got to the idea that walking an aisle, saying a prayer, and getting saved is the end of it. No. It's discipleship. And whether we will admit it or not, that's what this show's about. This is discipleship. It's discipleship. Teach somebody, they teach somebody else. That's the way it's supposed to work. We're the seed. We're the seed planters. We're the waterers. And I bet you if we took time for testimonies, some of you could tell some stories of some amazing changes you've seen around you from people who woke up that you never thought would wake up. Yeah, I know there's knuckleheads out there in your family that won't wake up. I get that. We all deal with that. But there are others around you who say, Coach, I'll never forget when you did this. Or, boy, Betty, I'll never forget when you did this. And it's all planting and sowing. See, we're in the McDonald's generation. We want to drive in, order it, and pick it up. And we used to get mad. Remember that commercial Wendy's used to run, I think it was? Park it! You make your order, and they say, park it, because it wasn't ready, and everybody's mad because it wasn't instantly there. That's not the way the Lord works. Sometimes it is instantaneous, but most times it isn't. It takes a while. The roots have to grow deep before you bear much fruit. And sadly, for whatever reason, we are not making disciples in our churches, not in the way that we would see the disciples in the Old Testament. We're not making that kind of disciple. We're making life enhancement disciples. Come to our church and life will be better for you. Everything will be good. Blah, blah, blah. You with me? I know I sing this song over and over again. I know I do. But what is at the heart of learning? Repetition is at the heart of learning. And I would ask, you know, I have conversations every once in a while with Glenn and others in the queue. Can somebody explain to me why? What is it? I mean, I know. This is a rhetorical question. What is it about this Coach Dave Live that scares pastors? I'd love to hear from you. What is it that scares pastors? Glenn, when you go to your pastor and you try to, because I know you've done this a number of times, you try to encourage him to get the men involved. What is it, Glenn? What is the hesitation? What's there? I'm asking not just Glenn. I'm asking anybody out there. What is it? What is it? Do these guys not want to expand the gospel? What is it? What is? I can't imagine it anything. If I was going to go have a golf tournament, I'd try to get as many people as I could to come. I want everybody to come. If I'm going to go to a concert, I want everybody to come. I'm going to go fight for the Lord. I want everybody to come. They don't want everybody to come. Not really.
I don't, you know, after having a number of conversations, and I have a meeting with a pastor tonight, but after having a number of conversations, I don't think that they know what needs to be done. I don't think that they feel equipped to lead men. I think they can run a program, they have training and background to run a church, but they don't need to. They don't know how to lead men. That's the and I think they're fearful of it.
That's right. That's right. Leading men is not an easy thing to do. Can you imagine being an NFL football coach, trying to coach those million-dollar guys, telling them they're not blocking right, they're not doing it right? That takes a special kind of guy, right? And if I look around and my neighbor's family's screwed up, I can tell them why their family screwed up, but we don't want to do that because they've told us that's judgmental and homophobic. You shouldn't do that. Say, well, dude, look, you ever pray with your family? You don't? You say grace with them? Oh, well, good. God bless you. Say grace with them. You ever sit down and pray with your children? Your children ever see you do anything publicly, stand up and push back and fight? Ever see that? No. No, you don't. No, you don't. Hang on a second, Clay. I'll get you in there. Bobby, come on in. I can see Bobby's texting in there. Bobby started a new website. We can pull that up there.
I didn't hear my hand up, but since you brought me in, no? Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. So Bobby, and we got the election fraud coming with Dr. Frank, June 8th. Go ahead,
yeah.
Bobby.
All right. Yeah, a couple things going on. June 8th in Kentucky. We got that day event down there. So you guys need to spread the word and show up for that. That's 1 month away, literally 2 months away. We got the June 29th event at Cabela's. We're gathering there with Dr. Frank. It's a great venue. We got the conference room. It could not be a better venue. Yeah, you got to be there. Friday night, I got a hotel reserve and a conference room for us together. So we got 1 month before that's canceled. So you need to call and get your room now, ASAP. And the next thing, I got a lot going on. I got a website just rolled out. I just created my first over 1 hour kind of documentary that I just posted. I got handmade cups. I got shirts. I got hats. Over these recent months, I've been quietly working in the background, and I almost got everything in place. And so I'm about to start running my mouth again.
All right, Bobby. So you got a new website, and the new website is what, Bobby? What's how they find it?
It's unapologetic. thechristianwarriorclass.com. That's the website. And I got everything, the videos I've been working on over the years. I can't tell you how long it took to go through and categorize everything into different categories. You can go find whatever you want. If you hate it, you hate it. If you love it, you love it. But your mind is going to be intrigued and blown. I have invested so much in this. So go learn something and see how far you can stretch your mind.
Amen. And stretch other people's minds, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks, Bobby. So listen, again, our website's a little behind. It's my fault. I got to get focused. Okay. Bobby's dates up in there. We've got this weekend going on, you know, in Croton. That's going to be a wonderful event. Come on. Anyway, it's all Coach Dave Live, and I don't want to spend all the time. Clay's out there doing stuff. Jeff Klein's out there doing stuff. Dave Allison's out there doing stuff. Randy's out there. RJ's out there doing. We got guys doing stuff. By the way, we got Christians being Christians. That's different, isn't it? And Friends of Past Assault Ministries is a new place on our website. And if you have a ministry and you'd like it to be there, there's the friends. Mel working behind the scenes all the time at the Liberty Action Network and Ohio Bread, Saving God's Children and Repentance for Such a Time as This, and Unapologetic Christians and the Natural Family Foundation. And if you've got a website or something you're working on, we'll put you up there too, because it's not about us. And the show that we did with Hagman yesterday was exposing to the world the fruit of getting out of the bubble that you're living in. Get outside. With the salt of the earth, not the salt of the church. Get out. We're going to hate you. Come on in, Clay.
Well, you were asking why pastors don't want to be involved with Coach Dave Live or the team that we're doing. And the best way I could probably put it is it's like people wanting to join the United States military. There's a lot of people that want to join the United States military. But you get a special forces team or something that's about to cross a field full of landmines, and then it's a whole different story. And so that's the thing. These pastors want to stay safe. They don't want to be with a team that's about to cross a field full of landmines. And the Salt and Light Brigade's willing to get out there where it's dangerous and do what needs to be done no matter what.
Amen. You know, Clay, last night in the interview with Doug Hagman, He kept referring. Do you guys know that Doug Hagman went to Hillary's house with us? Those of you who went, maybe you forget that. Doug Hagman and his son Joe, they showed up with us at Hillary's house. So they know what we're doing. They know what's going on. And they're doing the best they can to organize. But I'm going to tell you something. There ain't nobody out there, nobody doing what's happening at this platform. And I'm not bragging about me. I'm bragging about y'all. There's fruit. When people get a hold of me and say, oh, yeah, well, what are you doing at Past Assault? I can write off about 15 guys that are doing stuff. Probably more of it going on than I even understand is going on. Because this thing isn't about me. Even though it's Coach Dave Live, it isn't about me. It's about what the Lord can do through you. When you stand before the Lord and we throw our crowns out of his feet, which is what the scripture says is going to happen, what are you going to do when you ain't got nothing to throw at his feet? What are you going to do? You're in heaven. I mean, you made it. You slid in by the skin of your teeth. You made it, baby. Slid safely into home plate. Safe! And then go to the award assembly. You're in there. But you're sitting clear up in the cheap seats. You're supposed to do something, man. You're servant of the Lord. You're a warrior for Christ. You're the salt of the earth, the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that see your good works. When they see your good works, they glorify your Father, which is in heaven. And I sat back yesterday during that show, and I just was amazed. Randy, Jim, Craig, and their growth, and their commitment, and their willingness to stand up and speak the truth and not be afraid, and willingness to jump over the next hurdle, whatever that might be, knowing there will be another hurdle. Nobody ever promised us it would be easy. Man, I got some stuff I'm going to get to here in a second, I promise. Jeff, come in then, Randy.
Coach, here's what happened yesterday at the car lot, just briefly. Mechanic tells me, yeah, I learned more just hanging out with you guys, blah, 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 than being in a church. Then I have a guy walk in my office, just got out of jail here in Knox County, 317 days. Now, and I stood with him at an attorney's office 2 years ago for something he did that was not wrong. Now they just let him out and said, all charges are dropped. Everything gone. I said, you need to sue him. We're just talking about, I said, you've got to sue that attorney in this area here. You got to go after him. So we talked about Tom Conley. We talked about Pass the Show. I said, we're just talking about it. And he knows you. I'll talk with you later about him. I ain't going to say anything right now.
Sure.
But he was wrongfully incarcerated. Then in comes right after he left, in comes the two, my husband and wife. They run the Republican Party here in town.
Oh, and boy.
4 years ago, they bought all them flags for me. I mean, I made a lot of money on that one, selling them dozens and dozens and dozens of flags to resell up there. So they're talking with me, and I just lit them up. I lit them up. But Jim Jordan, J.D. Vance, what are we doing? And then told them about all the politicians I talked to up there at that event we had 2 months ago, the judges and one, the guy running for Senate here in Ohio, I can't remember his name, but I said, I just lit them up. So I lit them up and they're like, well, they got all done. I was there for about 45 minutes, got to the end. They said, well, we'd really like to just get some more flags wherever you get them so we can help the Republican Party make some money. I don't want to help the Republican Party make money. They're just as worthless as the Democrats. I lit them up. The mechanic's sitting there witnessing all this.
Yeah, baby. Huh?
It was fun.
That's right. Republicans have sold us out, folks. We got to understand that one. Good work, Jeff. Randy?
Coach, I tell you something else that you do. The platform you have here, you're not afraid to let people talk. And, you know, and most of them are. They're afraid that someone's going to outdo them or they're, you know, they're going to say something they can't, you know, control. But, Coach, when I came on here, when I started with you, this was new to me. I had never been part of anything like this. And it was a huge thing for me to say something on the show the first time. I was so had so much butterflies, Coach. I don't even remember where it was, but I was scared to death. But I said, man, I got to say this. Coach letting me go, he's going to let me say this. I know I'm not ever going to be a great speaker like many of you, but I have no fear to open my mouth and to let my voice be heard now, Coach.
Amen. Amen.
And I think your show has a lot to do with that, Coach. You let people learn how to speak, and you don't try to control them. You let them speak, Coach. And I've seen a lot of people really grow here while I've been in here. A lot of them.
Amen. Amen. And hey, Randy, you know, one of the things that disappoints me the most? People who leave over theological issues. They don't agree with.
Yeah, they have an agenda.
The Jews, and so they say, I can't listen to him anymore. Are you kidding me? You won't listen because we say something maybe you don't agree with? You don't listen anymore? What the hell? Go sit in some convent then and let somebody feed you whatever it is and eat that bilge. Go ahead and believe it. Here we throw it on the table, like it or not. But oh, I can't watch him anymore. He didn't. Blah, 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 blah. What's wrong with you people? What? New ideas? New way of looking at things, huh? Hmm? Jeez, criminy. I'm telling you, it wears me out. Dave Allison, come on in.
Yeah, Coach, it was an excellent program last night on Hagman. Thanks. And, yeah, Coach, really when you stop and think about it, churches are creating, it's a spectator sport.
It is.
Right. That's all it is. You just come there. And they
perform for you. They give you good music. They give you good special songs. Then they give you a special message. And then you go home. Ain't nothing expected of you except give a little bit of money.
Yeah, they're the spectacle and you're the spectator. As it reminds me of the Lions were in the playoffs, right? And they were playing some other city. But Ford Field in Detroit sold out. They had 80,000 people just sitting there watching the screen. And that's kind of what church is, just a spectator sport. Nobody's actually down on the field doing anything. But I want to give, you know, it was the guys in this thing have encouraged me. And Jeff Klein, I want to tell you, brother, I mean, these other guys are awesome. But you've greatly encouraged me with your testimony, brother. And I just want to let you know that. Brother.
Amen. He walks it, man. They hate him, man. They hate him. They hate him. It's awesome. Right, Jeff? They hate you.
Coach, I forgot to tell you this. And all them people I just mentioned that was there within about an hour, some woman come walking in my office during all that debacle that's going on, because I was lighting them up. This woman walks in. She goes, oh, I just had a question about a repair. I'm like, okay, we're talking about. And then I also mentioned JR, the family thing. I said, we're going to the square this Saturday to kick off. Our first Saturday will be about the Family Foundation, the national director. He might be there. She's like, what's this all about? She's seen the signs. I got them signs I got from you. So the Republican guy, he picks one up so she can take a picture of it. And we're talking about all this stuff. And she's standing there going, yeah, yeah. I said, you see right there, that woman don't care about them politicians. She wants to get involved. So she says, how can I get one of them signs? She handed me about like $5 for one of them signs. I said, good, you can donate to the signs. She said, I'm taking this to my pastor. I'm coming to the square Saturday. Blah, blah, blah. She's fired up. I said, see, right there goes the woman that you need to start speaking to, not the politician. It was great. This woman was flat excited.
Amen. Amen. Well, by the way, real quickly, Jeff, while I'm thinking of it, Joe Allen, I'll get you in here in a second. Then after Joe, I want to go someplace here. Hey, look, I don't have the details in front of me. I spoke to Bill Dunphy yesterday. We're going to go, and I think it's in 2 weeks. I got to get the date for you. We're going to go back to Indian Lake to rebuild a house for a guy. And we're going to have to raise in the neighborhood of Bill gave me the whole details, $6,000 to repair this guy's house, getting back in his house. He's living in a hotel right now. I'll get you the date. So we'd like to have maybe another crew of 7 or 8 of us show up at Indian Lake here in a couple weeks and help put this guy's house back together. So I wanted to put that out there before I forget about it. I'll get you the date. Pastor Bill gave it to me yesterday, but I forgot about it. I think it's because next weekend is Mother's. It's this weekend. The next weekend is Mother's Day, I think. No, this is Mother's Day. Next weekend, I can't do. I think it's 2.5 weekends. I'll get the date. Joe Allen, come on in.
This program, Coach, has effective every state in this United States.
It has
reached overseas as well.
Amen.
When Coach was on last night, he said he could have 10 to 20 men on Coach's or Doug Hagman's show. So don't get your feelings hurt.
That's right. That's right.
Enough said.
I could have more than 10 or 20. I focused on those three guys last night because they're moving the ball forward, man. And by the way, Craig, your great big banner that you gave to Ken down the road is going to be flying this weekend at the event in Croton, Ohio. I got a hold of them and said, can we put this big banner up? They said, yeah, do you have two of them? That's what they said, saving God's children. So we just let everybody out there know that your efforts haven't gone in vain. Pull up for me Wartime Church, because I want to take you down through this. Rained again last night. I got to mow at some point. Now, scroll down to the very bottom of this before I go. I dive. I want you to see who wrote this, okay? This was written by Andrew Torba. Guys know who Andrew Torba is? Most of us don't have any idea who he is. He is the CEO of Gab.com. Gab. Because I don't use Gab. Maybe I should to support Andrew Torba. But this just ain't some flunky. Go ahead, since you're going to say something.
I was just going to say we do post your show to Gab.
Okay, we post the show on Gab. Okay, but I didn't know that. Okay? So this just ain't some flunky, some theorist. I want to read you what Andrew Torba at Gab, Christ is King at Gab, CEO, wrote today. Just go back up the top, Spence. I about fell over when I saw this, and I said, who wrote this? He says, the wartime church. Did you guys see that last week, some guy showed up, and the church pointed a gun at the pastor, to shoot the pastor, and the gun misfired? Did you guys see that? Pastors, y'all be packing. Y'all be packing in the congregation.
So
Andrew Torba writes, the recent incidents at Jesus Dwelling Place Church in Pennsylvania and the Syrian Christ the Good Shepherd Church in Western Sydney serve as stark reminders that Christians are at war, whether we acknowledge it or not. The attempted shooting of Pastor Glenn Germany and the stabbing of Bishop Mari Emanuel underscore the need for self-defense training and a strategic plan for our churches. We must recognize that we are living in a time of war, a war against our faith, our values, and our way of life. To effectively navigate this tumultuous period, it is essential for pastors and churches to adopt a wartime mindset as opposed to a peacetime one that many currently hold. Now, hang on a minute, Clay. What did the old coach say? We're moving from a peacetime pastor to a wartime. Did I tell you that or not? Huh? It's coming, baby. It's coming. Do I need to remind you what's been happening over the past year? How Christ is King has been labeled as anti-Semitic. These are all links. We could go to them. Or how Resurrection Sunday was mocked by President Biden with a declare of trans visibility. Remember that, friends? Or how about our elected representatives passing hate speech legislation that effectively outlaws parts of the Bible? Friends, this is going on right now. Oh, my goodness. Not to mention how quickly we forget the horrific massacre of 6 Christians, including 3 young children, at a Nashville school. Being winsome and nice just won't cut it anymore, Christian. It's time to get serious. The time for this is from Andrew Torba of Gab. The time for complacency is over. We must equip ourselves with the knowledge and skills necessary to protect our churches and communities from potential threats. A wartime church is characterized by a heightened sense of urgency, vigilance, and preparedness. It is a church that recognizes the spiritual battle being waged against it and actively works to protect its members and uphold the values of the faith. In 1 Peter 5, verse 8, we are warned to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. By the way, he's not a lion. He's acting like one.
Amen.
While there is certainly value in personal growth and spiritual development, a peacetime church may be ill-prepared to face the challenges and threats that come with a wartime environment. It's really good, isn't it, friends? In the case of Pastor Germany, it was a swift and courageous action of church members that prevented a potential tragedy. Their response highlights the importance of fostering a sense of community and preparedness within our churches. By God's sovereign grace, a miracle happened and the gun malfunctioned. This gave congregants and Pastor Germany enough time to react and subdue the suspect. I'm sorry if you guys didn't see that video. Maybe we can show you that later. The incident in Sydney similarly underscores the need for Christians to be vigilant and be prepared for potential attacks. Bishop Mari Emanuel, who has a global online following, was wounded along with at least 3 others when a man lunged at him with a knife during an evening service. Praise God for those who swiftly took action to stop the attack. In a wartime church, a pastor serves as a spiritual warrior. Who does? In the wartime church, the pastor serves as a spiritual warrior. leading his congregation to battle against the forces of darkness. This is exemplified in Ephesians 6, which says, finally, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the form of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world. Do you understand that, who it's against? It's against the rulers, against the authorities, and against the powers of this dark world, folks. Governmental authorities, if I might say. And against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. The heavenly realm empowering ungodly men on earth. Somebody give me an amen. Get the picture of what's going on here.
Amen.
To transition to a wartime amen. Church, it is essential for pastors. Glenn, send this to your pastor. It's essential for pastors and church leaders to adopt a proactive and strategic approach to spiritual warfare and physical threats. This includes, according to Andrew Sorbo, CEO of GAB, developing a comprehensive security plan. Torba, thank you. Ensuring that churches have the necessary security measures in place to protect the congregants and property from potential threats. Training in self-defense and emergency response. Equipping church members with the knowledge and skills necessary to protect themselves and their fellow believers in the event of an attack. At your house! At the shopping mall! How can the church ignore this? Fostering a sense of community and preparedness, encouraging open communication and collaboration among church members, as well as promoting a culture of vigilance and preparedness right where you live. And emphasizing the importance of spiritual warfare. Preaching messages that highlight the ongoing battle against the forces of darkness and the need for Christians to remain vigilant and steadfast in their faith. The war against Christianity is not a hypothetical threat, but a very real and present danger. As Christians, it's our responsibility to prepare ourselves and our churches for the challenges that lie ahead. By adopting a wartime mindset, and implementing a strategic plan for spiritual warfare, we can ensure that our churches remain strong, resilient, and steadfast in the face of adversity. Let us remain committed to advancing the kingdom of God by discipling the nations to uphold the values and priorities of our faith. May God grant us the wisdom, courage, and strength to prevail in this ongoing battle.
Amen.
Is that a boom, folks? Is that a boom? I would encourage every one of you. Spencer, can we put that in the chat somehow? I would encourage every one of you to share this with all of your Christian friends, certainly your pastors. Flood them with this, because this, folks, the devil's playing for keeps. You understand that? You understand that if the light goes out in Christian America, the impact that will have on all the world. You understand that? Do you understand that our Christian government has been seized by Luciferians, masquerading both as Republicans and Democrats? Do you understand that? Do you understand that if you are trusting on law enforcement or government to protect you, you are sorely mistaken. Do you understand that? Because I don't think we do. I wonder if when you walk into your church on Sunday, if you still go, how many people in there are packing? How many are packing? Is the pastor encouraging them to pack? Or we see, everybody wants to be nonviolent till it's their kid that gets killed, till it's their wife that gets shot in church. Devil's playing for keeps, man. We're coming, I don't care what your theology is, we're coming at a climax of something really, really big. Because the devil has just about played out his string, folks. There isn't a whole lot they can. I saw today, believe what you want, okay, about politics, doesn't matter. I'm talking about the mood of the country. I saw a poll today that said 85% of Americans do not like Joe Biden. 85%. And another poll showed that Joe Biden is losing by 12 points in Michigan. And if he loses Michigan, it's over. Friends, they're not going to let themselves lose this election. They can't. They have staked everything on the gaining control of the government. And they see now that slipping away. And it would slip away so easily if the church would simply stand up and be the church. But you better get prepared, because the devil's coming to church. Come on in, Dale.
Well, hallelujah, Coach. I've said this a few months ago, that Democratic Party has one ace in the hole, and that is that they can, if a war happens, all elections are off. And I do see that, because I see they've got two of them brewing over there just to keep them warm, just in case they have to fire them up. And once a year, my church, you know, we take that stuff serious, you know, and that we actually talk about to the congregants. It's not a big church. The exits and how we would go about. If you come to my church, Coach, when the service begins, the doors are locked. If you try to smash our doors, I have special film that's like a windshield film that you can't smash through that door. Now, as hard as it is to get into that church when that happens, can I just say it, read between the lines? It'll be harder for you to get out of that church.
Amen, baby. You're going out in a box, right? Dale, that's not very Christian of you, brother.
Huh? Well, just read Luke 22. That tells you everything else. You want to talk about dispensation, if I may, Coach, real quick? Luke 22. Sure. He said, I send you out before with no money bags, no sandals, no this, no that, no anything. He says, but now I'm telling you, if you go out, you are to go out with a money bag. You are to go out there with a cloak and bring a sword with you. Well, that was the weapon of the day. And Peter replied, Lord, we have two of them here. He said, that is sufficient. Okay, there you go. That is it. He changed that motive right there. That was right during the Last Supper.
Amen. He said, go sell your cloak and buy one, baby. And as Dale said, the sword was the AR of its day. We hear pastors say, no weapons in here, or the covering of the Lord.
Well, it's the same thing for the shepherds. In that day, Coach, the shepherds out in the field, not only the staff was not for photo ops. It was to knock the snot out of a fox if it came near the sheep. And Amen. The fox feared the staff, not the shepherd.
Amen, baby. Amen. The rod and staff, they comfort me. Bobby, come on in, then Craig.
Yeah, they can't let go of this. This has been a generational takeover of America and the world, and they rolled out communist-trained seminary professors within the last 80 years to take over the church. There's no difference between your college professor ideology and your church. Now, we got the United Nations Agenda 2030 taking place right now, all of the Green New Deals. A lot of this has been pushed back from Agenda 21 to Agenda 2030. And now I'm seeing information from these globalist organizations like World Economic Forum and Health Agent, some others. There's so many of them, right? Agenda 2045. So the resistance is pushing a lot of this stuff back. However, here we are rolling into, it's going to be what, 2025 soon? This is going through the roof as far as speed is concerned for the total transition of America. Now, the last point I want to make is the world, America is gone as you know it, right? So the North American Union, the unification of America, Canada, and Mexico has already taken place in February of 2023. That's a done deal. So that's a big reason why we see no borders, the mass influx of people, the replacement population, right?
Yep. Yep.
So we need to wake up to what's really, like, for example, Texas Governor Greg Abbott, he's a member of Council on Foreign Relations. And all of these other globalist organizations are literally determining your life when right here in our backyard, for example, Lehigh Valley Tea Party won't support anything that I have upcoming, because they literally said anything else is a distraction other than getting Trump elected. whether he wins, whether he wins or not, to put your entire being in one man. And what happens if he doesn't? They think globalists and globalist organizations have at least a 50-year plan when we can't think beyond the next right now.
Amen, Bobby. No wonder they're winning. So I talked about it yesterday. The children of the devil are wiser than Christians, but they're wiser than us. We're so stupid. Craig, come on in. Then Jack.
Well, you know, Coach, no movement of God has ever gone forward without a great sense of remorse and repentance. And we definitely need to stand as the church, but we need to go back and we need to be in some serious remorse and some serious intercession for sitting back for so long. And, you know, if you really look back in your life of what's really changed your life, it's either been circumstances out of your control or you sat back there and you really sat there and said, wow, I really screwed up and I'm not going to do that again.
Yeah, but you know what, Craig, I agree with you, but I'm not going to sit around and continue to apologize. I'm going to say, I'm sorry, Lord, and I'm going to go get him.
Well, no, it's not about an apology, Coach. It's about remorsing to the Lord, okay?
Yeah, well, I'm remorsing to the Lord by showing him my remorse by doing something about my cowardice. I'm not arguing with you.
I'm not arguing. I guess.
Because some people think you can just say you're sorry and it's okay. It's okay, right? It'd be like my son, my grandson, not mowing my yard. And after I get done mowing, I'm raking up the grass, and he comes and asks me for $5. And I said, well, why didn't you help me? I paid you $5. So, oh, Grampy, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Grampy. I'll help next time. Okay. Well, I ain't giving him $5. I'm going to wait till next time, see if he comes and if he's really sorry, he'll come and help me rake next time, right? So we have to move beyond apologies to action. I told my wife, I love you, honey. And she says, if you love me, you'd wash the daggone dishes. And then she goes away and comes back, and I wash the dishes. She knows I'm in it. Jack.
Yeah, I like to reduce things to least number of words. What Dale was saying was situational reality, not situational ethics. The situation changes. The ethics do not. We react differently because the situation changes. That's what the scripture is all the way through. Because that's why people pick out one part and say, well, this is what you're supposed to be doing. And this doesn't say anything about that. But the situation changes, well, but the right, ethics Jack. Does not.
That's right. Amen, brother. Taking situation out of context will give you a different meaning of scripture. I couldn't agree more. RJ.
Yeah, powerful show. I was, you know, slow getting up today, and my mind's revolving over all the stuff that's got to be done. And I realize we are information society. We've been trained to absorb it and to do so little. I mean, some of you are doing great. Just my hat's off to what you've accomplished. You know, the wartime article, Coach, I took that yesterday, wrote a long draft, had it prepared to send to this local, it's a Zionist church, a mega church here, where they're doing prepper stuff. And I'm using that to provoke them to really start moving forward. And I put some of it in the chat and I try to finish it, but it's weird how it came out. It deleted out of the draft on YouTube, on Gmail somehow. So I'm trying to recover it. I'm going to put it out there.
The churches are more concerned about what's happening to Israel than the fact that little children are being taught to be homosexuals. Am I missing something here, folks?
That's what they're all about.
I can't do anything about what goes on in Israel. I can pray for Israel. They're cutting off ding-a-lings. They're giving kids hormones. And right. I'm worried about Israel? It's unbelievable confusion. I didn't mean to step on you, RJ. I kind of do that, you know.
No, that's what they do. And the pastors are trained to entertain. It's just put out the information, say, come back next week, and you put on a show. It's not about action. I mean, they do some missions and stuff, but they need some help. It's doing what you do, Coach. It's activating people like Bobby Lee. That's amazing what you're doing, brother. Let's just keep it going. It encourages me. It inspires me, brother. This is great.
And let me say this, too. I don't endorse everything Bobby does. I don't endorse everything Randy does. I don't endorse everything Dave. In other words, maybe I wouldn't do it that way. But daggone it, I support them doing it. Do you guys realize this? I support them doing it. You know what happens? We have people who don't tune into the show anymore because, oh, he was talking about the Jews. Oh, what the hell is wrong with us? See you tomorrow.